Campus Crusade for Christ International, an interdenominational Christian movement, was founded by Dr. Bill Bright. It serves as an evangelistic arm of the church by helping to present Jesus Christ to students, athletes, faculty, military, and lay people of the world. Campus Crusade places a strong emphasis on the great historic doctrines of the Christian faith, including the deity of Christ, His atoning death for our sins, and the inspiration and authority of the Scriptures. Our goal is to help win the world by introducing people to Christ and training them to win others. Key messages are now available on tape to help win your world for Christ.
This next hour, the subject is communicating to the world through computers. And even though we think of the matter of television being new, even newer to our experience and to the world, and having a great impact upon our world in our day, is the matter of computers. I hate to think, when I was back in college, how few computers there were at that time in the United States. The transistor had not been in use at that time, and they were all the big ones. And it's just amazing to see how this field has progressed since that time. Bill Mansdorfer is the speaker for today. At the age of 19, he graduated from Eastern Baptist College and became an ordained minister. He served for 2 years in the State Department, and in 1956, he went into the supermarket industry. He was beginning with one store. This, in the period of those 4 years, expanded into a multi-million dollar industry. It was in 1960 that he came to know Christ, even though he had been an ordained minister before that time, by listening to the radio. And after becoming a Christian, he immediately left what he was doing and went into Christian work. Since 1965, he's been the director of the Family Relation Radio Network. And also in 1963, he was the founder and has been the president of International Outreach International, a missions computer research program. And the subdivision of it is the Christian International Research. And one of their projects is within the next 7 years to launch 3 direct broadcasting satellites. And he was sharing with me the fact that they have spent over $100,000 just in legal research for this very complicated project of the satellites. He also shared with me something that I'm sure is a great concern to him, and I'd like for us to spend a time in prayer. He mentioned the fact that his daughter right now is undergoing some very serious complications with a rare form of cancer which she has, and during this time he's not able to be with her in his traveling and the many responsibilities that he has. And I would appreciate it if we could join together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of our brother in Jesus Christ, and we present this particular petition before you. Lord, you know the desire that is in his own heart as his daughter is sick. And we would pray for him that you would sustain him and for his wife in this time of trial, and especially for the daughter. We pray, Lord, that as the great physician, that you would touch her body and that you would meet the need that she has in relationship to this cancer at this present time. You'll give wisdom to those that minister to her. We thank you that we can bring this before you at this time, and that we can cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. And we thank you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Bill Mansdorfer.
Thank you, and I appreciate very much your prayers. It's been amazing to us in that it was 3.5 years ago that we found that our daughter had cancer, and we were told that the other 4 cases of this particular type in the state of California, everyone had died after the first operation. Yet miraculously, in the past year and a half, she's been in school, been running around like any other child, and it was just this weekend that we discovered additional problems. Our God is great. To follow Dr. Werdemann is like being a computer yourself. He's the first walking human computer. I've had a following before, and so when I get up, I don't try to copy him. I can't talk that fast, and besides, my brain doesn't go into quite that speed and gear. And I thought what we would do today is simply share a few things that are on my heart, because in the workshop sessions, we'll get into much more detail as we're dealing with computers. I believe computers are going to revolutionize and are revolutionizing missions and our total concept of communicating to a world in the name of Christ. Technologically, our social and business society has been in a total revolution, the cybernetics revolution. This has been a three-pronged revolution, number one being automation, number two, computerization, and number three, instantaneous communications. Missions have not and cannot continue to remain immune from the impact of these three electronic horsemen. In 1953, the very term automation had just been coined, and only three computers were then in use. Instantaneous global communication was still a mote in the scientific eye. 17 years later, there is no need to spell out automation's progress, particularly in the area of missions and in the church. But today, the communications information revolution, sparked by the computer, is poised for a leap ahead that will make automation's 17-year progress seem like slow motion and that will radically alter our total civilization. An old proverb states, 1 pound of learning requires 10 pounds of common sense to apply it. The world's accumulation of knowledge has presumably doubled in the past decade. It will double again in the next decade. Clearly, the application of this new knowledge could become a staggering task. The fundamental contribution of the new communications revolution is to put knowledge to work more promptly than ever before, more effectively than ever before, over more of the world than ever before. And that includes missions and the information necessary in the performance of the task of the Great Commission. Technology carries us from local to regional to national instantaneous communication. Now we're advancing towards true universality, embracing global audiences, global enterprises, global markets, and now global mission fields. Through communication satellites and the other remarkable communications breakthroughs, it will be possible and is possible to communicate with anyone, anywhere, at any time, by voice, sight, or written message, instantaneously. Moreover, all communications will be instantly recorded, instantaneously retrievable, and instantly reproducible. Hundreds of millions of individuals will be in full sight and sound of one another, and ultimately, individuals equipped with miniature TV transmitters will communicate directly with one another worldwide using personal channels similar to today's personal telephone, just as simply. Overseas mail will be transmitted through facsimile reproduction via satellites and utilizing computers. Satellite television will mean that several hundred million viewers may be watching the same program aided by instantaneous language translation. Magazines and newspapers will be electronically typeset over vast distances and will achieve worldwide simultaneous editions. By the end of 1966, satellites were communicating with two-thirds of the world. By 1968, television was technologically able to reach most of the world live. Clearly, we've already moved far past the threshold of a new era in both mass and personal communications. A worldwide system of instant sight and sound linking governments, business, and billions of people, and missionaries with their mission boards, is a reality. This awesome revolution will ultimately enable the church to reach the entire population of the earth simultaneously. For the nearer term, global mass communications will radically change our international concepts. Lack of communication brought about the babble of tongues. Instantaneous global communications will, in time, bring about a universal language. And just this weekend, my wife handed me, as I touched down at home and took off again, a clipping from United Press International, Dateline London, that stated 1 billion people make English the world's first language. 1 billion people now speaking or understanding the English language. With a single language accessible to practically all people, new opportunities are open, especially to missions. Our new communications technology offers us, at least in theory, the possibility that all the world can share the same experience simultaneously, and that may help weld together, especially some of our fractured Christian organizations. Yet what science knows today about communications is merely threshold knowledge. Even more awesome developments are being explored. We could talk about holography, the process of the laser in which you electronically will be brought into the home. I will not be able to tell the difference between you electronically and physiologically, and this will bring about a whole new concept in communications within 10 years. There will be no TV screen necessary, as it consists of the ionization of dust particles. I've seen this already demonstrated at Bell Labs in North Jersey. We can go on and on with the rapid changes that are going to come about. There's a broad new spectrum of information and services available through sight and sound and graphic. These services will come into the home by many means: television, CATV, special coaxial cable, special computer pipes that are brought in through electronic and laser pipes that will bring the transmissions to your home. Color TV and radio will be worldwide. Facsimile newspapers and other graphic media will come from all over the world. There'll be direct access from your home to libraries. Telephone services with remarkable new degrees of sophistication. My wife, who is a surgical nurse, is already utilizing the new computer services for intensive care, where it's no longer necessary for a nurse to stand by a bedside, but instantaneously everything from the basic urinalysis to blood tests are performed by computer in this new experimental medical phase of utilization of computers. You will have available in your homes in the not-too-near future a very, very sophisticated type of computer which will enable you to order groceries, to order all types of home services directly from your home by special computer. Business, weather, and market information are now available instantaneously by computer. A computer authority has stated, already we have the technology to lessen the need to commute to work by providing the businessman at home with closed-circuit television, remote-access computers, facsimile machines, etc. Some business meetings are now being conducted via home-to-office systems of electronic communications. Some conservative scientists have concluded that the office may tend to go into a decline, and that the core of the metropolitan city may, as a consequence, go into the decline and go to suburbia as a home. Remote, but possible. William Haber, Dean of the College of Literature, of Science and Arts of University of Michigan, flatly predicts that in 20 years, 50% of the workforce will be employed on types of jobs which are not even in existence. And the overwhelming majority of these jobs are not even yet in our imagination, and it would be wise to take an it-can-happen stance on anything we can imagine in the electronics and the computer industry. Dean Meyer and Tribus of Dartmouth, the School of Engineering, predicts, if there's one conclusion which I should offer as most firm, it is this. These things will happen sooner and on a larger scale than most of us now think likely, and don't conclude by saying, not in my lifetime, because it will happen. Dr. Berderman already mentioned about the direct broadcasting satellites, of which we're heavily in the field of research and of planning for the launch of 3 satellites to be used for Christian educational purposes. In a decade or sooner, large satellites will be put into orbit with enough power to broadcast TV and radio programs direct to individual homes. The former FCC commissioner, E. William Henry, warned the broadcast industry 3 years ago that the day may come when direct broadcasting satellites will eliminate overnight the need for local radio and television stations. A step toward direct home to from TV satellite systems has already been taken by the nation of India, which has given the contract to General Electric to launch a direct broadcasting satellite and to place sets capable of receiving that system in India. Now, as I depart now from what I have prepared in writing, I'd like to share with you what I feel is going to happen because of this tremendous change within the field of computers and within the field of mass communications, and they link together. I think it's very necessary for us to recognize that through instantaneous communications around the world, we're bringing exposure that never before had happened between people. Americans being exposed to Africans, those in Asia being exposed to those in America, and we're bringing about, especially in Christian circles, and Mark has been a leader in this, we're bringing about exposure of Christian to Christian. This is critical, because one of the problems that I find in the field of mass communications, as I travel the world and as we face mass communications here in America, is that it's hard to communicate to people around the world that there is oneness in Christ when they have 50 different organizations competing for their village or in their mission field. Because of the competition, and I will use that term knowing its full meaning, because of the competition between Christian organizations, because of the fragmentation, we have a great difficulty communicating the person of Jesus Christ, because they can't see Christ for our methods, our organizations, and our own problems and hang-ups. As we bring about exposures together to each other, we're going to establish what's critically necessary in the body, and that's what's called communications. As this exposure comes about, we're going to have to analyze what we're doing, where we're doing it, why we're doing it, and this is going to be very difficult to accept. Recently, in our particular computer center, we did a study of 6 missions organizations, and we found that their statement of faith were identical. There was nothing different at all about the statement of faith. Secondly, their missionaries were identical in not only their tasks to perform, in their training, and in their field of calling, the missionaries were identical. We did a sampling testing of their mailing list and found that better than 60% of their mailing list were identical. In other words, they were mailing to the same people. The conclusion from this is an ugly conclusion that these mission boards did not want to face. And the conclusion was that 6 organizations had been created so that 6 men could be presidents of organizations, and so that 6 teams of board of directors could be on boards of directors. And even though simply by weeding out the dead wood, you would have just one effective organization, there will continue being 6 organizations because they refuse to respond to what computerization of facts have shown to be true, that there is no need for 6. There was need for 1 effective organization. The reason, ego and man, and even statistics can't help that. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to that issue. Now, as we bring about this exposure to each other, we establish communications. Through communications comes education. Through education then comes our motivation. And through motivation comes not an ecumenicity, but through motivation then comes our unification in the common task of the Great Commission. We desperately need the utilization of computers to know, especially in the field of mass communications, who and what and how is the audience that we're aiming towards. I'm amazed as I talk to missionary broadcasters such as Abe Thiessen and others to find what some of our English-speaking producers are putting on their stations to communicate to audiences that they know nothing about. Ye must be born again going into India to the Hindu who already has a problem with being born again. To the American audience, we communicate to the businessman, Jesus saves. And the businessman responds, in what bank? Bank of America. To the housewife, we say, ye must be redeemed. And she says, what am I, an S&H or a blue chip trading stamp? We need to use computers, because with a computer and instantaneous communications, we have the ability of storing facts, of analyzing those facts, of instantly retrieving those facts, and the day of the home computer is going to make it possible for us to also be educated through this means and this data bank of statistics. I'm not qualified to go into extensive details on computers. I'm not a computer expert. That man you'll be hearing from, that's Ed Dayton and others who are here. I'm simply one who believes God for visions, one who has found that a means to accomplish it has been the computer, and I can simply speak today from personal experience in this field of computer application. It has revolutionized us in home communications as we have taken audience surveys of our listening audience here in the States, placed it on the computer, and found that the audience we were programming for did not exist because the computer showed us otherwise as we put facts and analyzed them, and therefore it was necessary to go through a radical overhaul as to how and what we're communicating. Now, our primary thrust has been to establish and to bring about communications through satellites. But our problem is this. If today God in His grace should make it possible for us to go to Cape Kennedy and under an international flag launch 3 direct broadcasting satellites, the big question I would have to ask is, what do we program those direct broadcasting satellites with? Do we program those satellites with Christian films, which have great difficulty communicating even to the Christian public? Do we put on that satellite system American Broadcast, whose primary motivation in about 80% of the cases that we find is not to proclaim Christ, but to raise money or to promote an organization? What do we program it with? And so one of our basic problems, in which the computer becomes a critical necessity, is to analyze the world, to analyze its cultures, and we know the basic need is Christ. But what we need to know is, how can we communicate to them Jesus Christ? And the computer can help us to evaluate and to analyze and to understand. Now, we put a 4-phase program into effect with Outreach International. The first phase was the establishment of the computer service, the Computer Research Center. And into that Computer Research Center will be eventually every known missionary in the world, his task, his training, not in depth like Mark is doing, but to do a Pentagon-type profile study of missions. The tragedy on the mission field when a missionary will die of a gangrenous appendix, and 50 miles away, there'll be a missionary of another denomination that their mission board knew nothing about. The tragedy of this when that missionary 50 miles away was a brilliant surgeon, but he was Seventh-day Adventist. And because he wasn't in the same bag, or he wasn't doing the same thing, as the kids would say, as this particular denomination or organization, there was no communications. And therefore, a missionary died not as a martyr, but as perhaps a fool, because of man's own competition and man's own inadequacy in Christian work. Now, as we set up this computer facility, we suddenly realized the need for 2 things. The need not only to find what was happening around the world, and others such as Mark are much more capable of finding this information, but also the need for verification of Phase 2, which was what we call CINETEL, the Christian International News Service. We felt the most difficult thing facing us today was the time lag between missions and home. And the reality factor of missions, and many of you know, as a missionary has spoken in your church, or as you've returned from the field, to make people feel the heartbeat of missions is almost an impossibility. We call it missions impossible. And you either come back with all kinds of facts, statistics, slides, audiovisuals, and go through a socket to them routine, or you give up in utter frustration, which many of our missionaries are doing. Because what we normally present is ancient history. By the time the mimeograph letter comes by the U.S. mails, which, by the way, has added computers, but don't let that be a deterrent to your thinking about computers. It's not the computer's fault that the letters get chewed up and misrouted. It's our good old government system called the U.S. Post Office. But by the time that mimeograph letter comes by bulk mail, and it arrives 3.5 weeks after the missionary's already dead, telling you to pray for him, it's ancient history, and we wonder why there's no reality factor. The reality factor is because it's just that. It's history. It's not happening now, because that person just came out of their armchair and watched Hamburger Hill being taken in Vietnam. But they'll hear 3 weeks later about the missionary and his problems in Vietnam because of the time lag. So the news service was set up with right now 157 stringers around the world to bring us instantaneous news, using everything from direct phone line to an airline courier pickup system, to bring us news back from the field. But now here's where the computer comes in. We've already had stories and been on the verge of breaking them instantaneously to radio, television, to the print media, when suddenly the discernment of the Holy Spirit has said, check it out. And we've found typical Christian statistics and facts, which have been Madison Avenue, public relations. And I don't know about you, but if you read all the literature that comes to your desk, you're convinced that you got left behind. The second coming's already taken place. That what you're called to isn't what God wants you to do, because there's only one method that's been told you in each piece of literature. And instead of a cooperative effort, we have come out with such a mismatch of statistics and of facts and of half-truths. No wonder God can't bless, because God only blesses honesty. God only blesses when men face it as it is and tell it as it is. And so we suddenly realize that without that computer and other means of verification, we could not instantaneously release missions facts, because many of the stories that we got were not factual, or they were over-exaggerated to the point where we would be doing a great harm through instantaneous communications to the Christian community as well as to the world. And so the computer became a necessity for verification of news, verification of statistics, and at the same time, the news could then be used to update the system. Phase three of this operation will be an international training and production facility located in Geneva, Switzerland, which, Lord willing, will be built within 18 months. This center will be a center where we will start to begin to know how to program to our world. And right now, if you were to ask me, what programs would you produce, I would say talk to Carl Lawrence, because he knows much more about it than I do right now. Because we need to learn how to communicate to a world. We need to know not only how, but to whom we're communicating, and then use specialty to communicate to that person. Now, into the homes will come the means of simply flipping a channel and from a computer being taught. Right now in New York City, some 160 children are being taught directly from a computer as fast as they can learn. We have computers now which are voice command computers. They'll understand the English language, which, and if you want to really blow your mind, as the kids say, go see the film. Don't go, if you have a hang-up on going to films, do it as a research project. Or watch it 10 years from now when it's a rerun on TV. See the film 2001. Which talks about the computer nicknamed HAL and what computers will do, because I do not believe it's fantasy. I believe that will be fact if the Lord should tarry. Computers that you can talk to and computers that will talk to you. Computers that literally think. And these are not expensive multimillion-dollar systems, because today computers can start as low in leasing as $800 a month. To the mass sophisticated systems such as Jet Propulsion Laboratories have, which are self-repairing computers, which will fix themselves. Now, as we talk about computers, as we talk about education, as we talk about motivation, as we talk about unification, we have to come up with several things. Number one, we need to study very carefully the motivation of everyone involved in missions, in broadcasting, in order to find those to whom we can have spiritual cooperation. If your motivation or my motivation is making a dollar rather than proclaiming Christ, we have nothing in common. If your motivation is promoting your organization and others, their motivation is proclaiming Christ, you have nothing in common. It's a divided motivation that God cannot bless, and therefore it would be being unequally yoked. Through the computer, through instantaneous communications, we can find those Christians who are of common mind and common heart and common purpose. And this is critical today. If this communications congress ends here, or if this communications congress accomplishes nothing from it towards bringing about a greater cooperation of those of us here, the time has been wasted by myself and by you. From this must come a greater cooperation, a greater understanding, a greater working together, and the computer is going to help us to understand each other. because it's going to help us to understand our own programs. The Lord said, by their fruit ye shall know them. And I believe that Jesus Christ and God are result-oriented. That God is not in the business of setting up massive programs just for the sake of having a program to employ Christians. God is in the business of winning a world to himself because he's already provided the means. And our task is to be used of the Holy Spirit to bring about results, not to sit year after year after year spinning wheels. Nothing has made us face honesty more in radio and missions than the computer. Because the computer has run out in a stat report, the money invested, the man hours invested, and the results. And the comparisons many times have driven us to our knees because it's shown that there were no results. And these man hours and dollars have been literally wasted in the name of Christ. The computer has brought us to the point of being honest and understanding where we are and what we have to work with. Secondly, the computer helps us to understand strategic goals in the evangelization of the world. And this is critical. We must know how and when to move into a particular nation. Thank God for organizations such as Wycliffe. Because of them, we will have, in Christian work, I believe, instantaneous language translation available by computer. Thank God for World Vision and Mark. Because of them, we will now know how bad the competition is, but at the same time, what fantastic assets the army of God has in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been an army that hasn't known how many companies, how many battalions, how many divisions. We've been an army that has refused to listen to the commanding general, which is the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Through the computer, we'll know what we have to work with because God has brought together a great army. Many of us are here today. And there are many others that we have not yet met. And through the computer, we can start setting strategic goals and know when and how to move. And thirdly, through the computer, we can evaluate our results. And this is critically spiritually. It's critically for the cause of Christ around the world. Family Radio entered into the computer world as such with a very small IBM system. It was nothing but a data processing system called a 402 accounting machine. It was a system that in its totality cost $600 a month. And the board of directors shuddered and prayed and said no. And over risk of my job, I went ahead and put it in anyway. Don't tell them that. But because of it, the overhead of Family Radio administratively was cut 30%. And for the first time, we started knowing where listeners were giving, why they were giving, and amazingly enough, we could minister to those who were giving. Because we could tell from the system now when somebody had been giving for 14 months and suddenly stopped, we could send somebody out to visit. Maybe it was illness. Maybe it was discouragement. But now we weren't interested in just their dollar. We became interested in our supporters. And the computer made this possible. Data processing made this possible. We then moved into a very non-sophisticated system known as the UNIVAC 9200. And this system was put in at a cost factor of some $1,400 a month. But now we can begin to evaluate programming. It's now been upgraded to a high-speed system at 32K memory storage, a system of disk with random access, and a system which could revolutionize our type of communication. We receive some 1,500 letters a day. Without the computer, it would be impossible for us to do follow-up, let alone the basic processing of gifts and the answering of needs and problems. Now, we've talked about just one phase of the computer. I'd like to just leave you with this as I close. In our area, in Northern California, during this past election, every home received two computerized letters from a certain person running for the state senate. That letter started out not with Mr. and Mrs. Mansdorfer. That letter started out with Dear Bill and Beverly. It was an upper and lower case. It was a personally typed letter. The letter even mentioned that we had two children. The letter on top of that even told us where we could vote. And that letter was so personalized that we read it. And I changed my vote from one senator to another because I had a whole new understanding of this particular man running for office because he personalized the letter to me. And it came into not just my home, it came into every home in that county. What would happen if through the computer, and I believe Campus Crusade has talked about this, if through the computer and through all of our computer systems, whether it be Wycliffe or Team or World Vision or Campus Crusade or whatever system it might be, into segments of the country, every home in the United States received a personal letter that talked to that individual about Jesus Christ. It's possible. Through the computer, it's not only probable, but it will happen that every home can receive a personalized letter thanks to the computer. Just one way of many that the computer is going to assist us. Another way is that churches can run into that computer their entire program, every member, and a pastor now can know when his congregation's attending, how much they're giving, what commitments were made, and the pastor can now have a statistical and data control of his congregation and know his flock. And the tragedy is up till now, most pastors have known a few or a handful, but have not been able to know perhaps the person sitting in the back row. But now through the computer, we can know the results of a particular Sunday school teacher, the results of a particular family. We can begin to know and understand at a very low expense. And I believe the computer has been brought about by God. We've had a few who have suddenly quit supporting our particular ministry because as they heard we were putting missionaries into the computer, they believed that we were numbering the Christians and that since we were numbering the Christians, we were of Satan. And that God never meant the computer to be used by Christians. To that I say baloney. I believe God brought about television, radio, instantaneous communications, satellites, computers to be used to tell a world about Jesus Christ and for no other purpose. He certainly didn't allow television to be discovered for what it's being used for. He allowed it to be discovered to use it that the hearts of men might be won to Christ. And I believe that we, you and I, unless we utilize every system that God has made available, every method, are falling far short of that to which we've been called. You'll hear in the workshops about share time. You'll hear in workshops about many applications of the computer that I haven't begun to touch on. But I want you in the hours and days ahead to take your fondest and greatest dream and vision that God could give you and now believe it because God has given us the tools to make it possible. At 17, I found it very difficult to believe that faith could move a mountain. Now I think it's ridiculous because in our particular area, two mountains have moved in 3 months for the new freeway and the new BART system in Northern California. And if a contractor can move a mountain, I know God can move any mountain through faith. That which was so hard to believe is not hard anymore, is it? It's fact. It's here. The computer, simply a tool, not a means in itself. The Holy Spirit wants us, I believe, to program, to develop, to use. In the name of Jesus Christ, the computer, and every means to reach a world that's increasing at a rate at 2.2 per second. There's no other means of reaching them unless we use instantaneous communications, have available instantaneous facts, and can make instantaneous application universally. It's here. Let's use it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We have hundreds of similar messages available for use in any listening situation. Have you considered how much of your time could be used twice? That's right, twice. Housewives, you can listen to systematic Bible study tapes and receive inspiration while you are sewing, washing dishes, cooking, or just resting. You businessmen can have a tape recorder in your car and utilize for Bible study the time you spend commuting between your homes and your offices. You can also take tapes of inspirational speakers with you on business trips to challenge your soul and to fill your spiritual needs as you listen to them in your hotel. These messages are not intended to replace the Holy Scriptures, but to supplement them and to accelerate your understanding of the various basic elements of the Christian walk. We have new electronic equipment available through Campus Crusade for Christ, which will help you to enjoy these recordings at very moderate cost. Write to the Audio-Visual Department, Campus Crusade for Christ, Arrowhead Springs, San Bernardino, California, 92404, for a catalog and a booklet and how you can get the most out of your hours every day and how you can use the medium of electronics for Bible study and inspiration.